Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is December the 9th, 2023. You tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I'm just sitting out chilling for a moment on the front porch because it's been a really good day. We have some great topics to talk about, some great things. And you hear some sounds in the background. It's like my neighbors are coming in after a good day with the family and this, that, and the other. And I just decided to sit outside and just enjoy this great, comfortable weather that we have here. It's not freezing out here like it's been recently here in the ATL. But I'm going to enjoy it, you know. So, again, welcome. And the chat room is open. Remember, you can always tune in to the show by dialing 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Share with a friend. Or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMTS. Again, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. All right. So, you know, I listen to a lot of different radio shows and listen to their stories or comments or what their topics might be. Now, I don't plagiarize. I don't listen in to grab what they're talking about to talk about on our show. But some of the topics that I have put together or that my co-host Janet Davis has put together, you know, we kind of try to put certain things in a sense of where you can understand what's really going on. So, as my co-host starts to join us, and I'm waiting for them to join the board. You know, there's a lot of things going on during this holiday season that is like, you know, what is holiday season really about? You know, are you really enjoying your time with your family, your friends, and are you really getting the best out of the holiday season? And again, the holiday season. Is this the one time that we get together and show our love and respect for each other throughout the whole year? Or at least, is this the one time we think we're supposed to do this? I kind of wonder about that. When it comes time for Thanksgiving, Christmas, supposed to be a time of happiness and just being, you know, just at peace. But it's not always that way for everybody. And that's a sad thing. It's not always that way. I see people that are homeless that are sleeping on hard concrete every day. And to be honest, I've seen it more often recently than I've seen it in the past. Outside of my job, one day I saw three individuals at closing time. Some of them roam around the store during business hours because it's cold outside, right? So they're roaming around the store looking at stuff, trying to stay warm inside of the store. And then at closing time, close to it, they're on the pathway or the sidewalks of the businesses that have shut down. They have to wait, you know, because it's a shopping plaza in a sense. You know, it's a big store there, but then there's other stores. You guys know what I'm saying. And I look, and I'm looking at them with their blankets and, you know, trying to stay warm. But this is the holiday season. And I see so much of it. It saddens me that where I kind of ask myself, where's their family? Where are their friends? How did they get to this point? Every year, you guys, we see it. I know you see it. I'm not the only one. Every year you see homeless people. And we don't know their stories. We don't know what they've gone through. How did they get to that point? And you know that every year I talk about this. And I kind of wonder, you know, how did it get to this point? So we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about, in political news, we're going to talk about Hunter Biden, the president's son, Joe Biden, who, you know, now he's going to have to go to court over some stuff that he lied about. And again, I'm going to go back to the fact that there's other shows I listen to that case is coming up the first part of the year and this, that, the other. All these political individuals, there was a part in the conversation about being above the law. Found it interesting that some folks said, well, no one's really above the law. You can buy your way out of it, then so be it. And that does happen. Individuals do buy their way out of going to court, buy their way out of charges that they have. But, you know, when you talk about the unprecedented thing about a former president being, you know, brought to court over crimes, alleged, as they use the term alleged, it's the first time, but it's not the first time that this has happened in the political field among individuals who are also individuals who are in politics that have gone to jail, okay, for crimes. There's a list of them, many of them. Never a president has been charged at this capacity. Yeah, you're going to say, what about Nixon? Yeah, Nixon got in trouble and he was pardoned, okay? He was pardoned. But it's not a long list of presidents that have committed crimes. Now, I can go back in time and say that, well, there was some, you know, that did certain things and this and the other, but that was way before my era, you know. But let's look at what we're dealing with now. I see a hand wave, and I'm pretty sure let me see. They have their hand wave. Let me open up their mic. 404-861. I'm going to open up your mic. I think I know who this is. But welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
It's Janet.
On a different number.
Yeah, because I'm letting you know I got to get home, and my phone is low. So I'm calling you on this number to let you know that I'll be calling back in shortly.
Okay, fantastic. I appreciate that, Janet. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right, so Janet called me. Yeah. So Janet tricked me right there. She called me from another number. When I saw the area code, I'm like, okay, I recognize 404, but that's not Janet. Okay, so she's going to be chiming back in momentarily as she's on her way to her residence. Okay, so thank you, Janet, for letting me know that.
Okay.
So what I'm going to go ahead and do, I'm going to go ahead and move over to one of the topics here. Well, I want to wait till Janet joins us, and also, let's see, I think Timon is going to be joining us shortly. Okay, he should be here. Let me see here. Here's another number. Go ahead and hit the number one so I can open your mic. Oh, okay, no, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to dismiss this one here. Let's figure that one out. All right, you guys, I'm sorry. We're getting the numbers all in order here. Okay, so Janet's going to come back and join us momentarily. Okay, so did she wave her hand again? Okay, she went ahead. All right, I think we got it right. So also what we're going to talk about, this young man who committed a crime of murder in Michigan, and he was given life without parole. And we're going to talk about that. Individuals who have been convicted of murder and the sentences, or the sentences that they may get. That I found an interesting story. But also there's one I've been following that is not really in our itinerary of a murder case that occurred here, here in Georgia. So allegedly what had happened, this individual, a black male, is accused of a hit and run. And then this white female, who was in the area, went forward. His vehicle went forward. She sped past his vehicle, blocked him off. Allegedly, he hit the gas and hit her car. She got out, and she demanded him to get out the vehicle. According to the 911 call, she was telling the 911 operator, you know, she was approaching the vehicle, this, that, and the other, and she had a gun on her. According to the witnesses, she punched the individual while he was in his vehicle, pulled her gun, waved it, not like over her head, but waved it like in front of him and everything, and they heard a gunshot. She shot and killed this 50-something-year-old man. So that case is going on. And she claimed it was self-defense. And apparently the individual who was shot and killed never had a weapon. Family claims that he had suffered from certain medical issues, and that he was more than likely having a seizure. Now imagine you or a family member that may have a seizure episode while driving your vehicle, and someone's thinking that you're just being reckless and just, you know, just barreling through traffic and trying to kill somebody with your vehicle, pulls out a gun and kills you, family member. which should be far from the case. But that's the case that's going on here in Atlanta, Georgia. You could look it up on Court TV. They do show you the actual live testimony of the individuals. And I think starting Monday, I'm thinking that this individual is going to, meaning the defendant, is going to take the stand. You know, you look at this whole thing about stand your ground. You know, car accidents happen every day. People have tried to drive away, but apparently this is not the case. But it should it be, I mean, should it be at the point of where you take the law in your own hands? You already called law enforcement. They're on their way. Why are you pulling out your weapon and actually kill a person over a car accident? Over something that your insurance can cover. I'm pretty sure you have it. But you killed someone with your pistol over a car accident. And this is what this woman is facing. Again, you guys could take a look at it, see what you think. But this is the type of society that we live in now. We feel like, not we as a whole, but many individuals feel like they can take the law into their own hands. Crazy, isn't it? All right, so what I want to do is just take a quick music break. And Janet should be joining us shortly. And I'm thinking other individuals should be joining us. Let me see here. Looking at the board. All right, there are folks on the board, but they haven't hit the number one. Also, a new show is here on the TMGN Network, which is Truth Spoken with your host, Damian. He's going to chime in, give you a little understanding of what he does every Sunday now. I've listened to two of his shows, and I'm going to tell you guys, you should check him out. This young brother is on point. I'm sorry. his topics, you know, and what he talks about, I think is just so great. It's just really interesting. It really is. Let me just go ahead and bring this up real quick. And I don't know why I'm coughing so much. But I'm going to play this little clip here as we get ready to bring up the topics that we have set for the day. Is that all right with you guys? Okay. There's something here I wanted to play for you guys. And I think I've shared it before. I don't like long, you know, I don't like long breaks while we're getting ready to do the topic. So I'm trying to find something that's definitely going to be great or interesting. After all the mean stuff, let me go to this one again. Okay, this should work. Should. That's not it. How come I'm not getting to come up? All right, so let me go to search. And once I get through the search, I'm going to type this in. Let me give you just a little bit of history moment, okay? How's that? We'll be right back. You listen to TMGN.
Black History Month was created in 1926 in the United States when historian Carter Godwin Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. Since the 1890s, black communities celebrated the birthdays of two people considered to have a big impact on black history in the United States, Abraham Lincoln February 12th. The American president that issued a preliminary Emancipation Proclamation that declared all enslaved people be forever freed in 1863. And Frederick Douglass, February 14th. After escaping slavery, he became a national leader of the abolitionist movement to end slavery and famous for his anti-slavery writings. In 1915, Woodson traveled to Washington, D.C. to participate in a national celebration of the nationwide emancipation. He was inspired by experiences from his trip to create an organization to promote the study of Black life and history. Soon after, he helped to form what is now known as the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. This association in 1926 sponsored a National Negro History Week, choosing the second week of February to coincide with Lincoln and Douglass's birthday. This inspired schools and communities nationwide to organize events to celebrate. The first Negro History Week was met with a lukewarm response, gaining the cooperation of the Department of Education of the states of North Carolina, Delaware, and West Virginia, as well as the city school administrations of Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Woodson felt that at least 1 week would allow for the general movement to become something annually celebrated. He realized the subject needed to resonate with a greater audience. Woodson contended that the teaching of Black history was essential to ensure the physical and intellectual survival of the race. If a race has no history, it has no worthwhile tradition. It becomes an unimportant factor in the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. By 1929, with only two exceptions, officials with the state departments of education of every state with considerable Black population made the event known to their teachers and distributed official literature. Churches also played a significant role in the distribution of literature, with the Black press aiding in the publicity effort. Throughout the 1930s, Negro History Week countered the growing myth of the lost cause of the Confederacy, that Blacks were better off under slavery. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions, Woodson wrote in his book, The Miseducation of the Negro. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or go yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. Throughout the following decades, Negro History Week grew in popularity, with mayors across the United States endorsing it as a holiday. Black History Month was first proposed by Black educators and the Black United States student at Kent State University in February 1969. The first celebration of Black History Month took place at Kent State 1 year later, from January 2nd to February 28th in 1970. By 1976, Black History Month was being celebrated all across the country when President Gerald Ford recognized the month during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial.
Love that we feel for one another.
welcome back to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That was Sounds of Blackness with Soul Holidays, one of my favorite songs to play this time of year. Waiting for my co-host, Janet, to join us. We were off air a few weeks ago, but we're back. And then we have new shows that are joining. I have a guest. Actually, he has his own show now, but that's going to be joining. And I see 205-249 on the board. If you have a question or comment, you know, hit the number one. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the topics that we have planned for the show. And I'm going to get through this political thing. You guys know we talk about politics from time to time. And the thing is that where everybody's waiting for, well, what is Donald Trump going to go to jail? He's got to go to jail for this, that, and the other. I don't think Donald Trump is really going to go to jail. Again, I'll say it. I think that Donald Trump is going to have to deal with him being stripped as far as being in politics in the future. I think that's what the goal is. Bring down his real estate empire is the goal of the prosecutors at this point in time. So if you have a thought about that, then go ahead and share it. But that's my thoughts. You know, this long, drawn-out drama for the former president, that's the way I think it's going to end, is that where after he goes through it, the judge is going to be like, you know, on all the cases, I think, of where we can't put him behind bars because – fortunately for him, he has a lot of supporters. But then again, unfortunately for him, he has a lot of non-supporters that don't want him to be in the White House again based on what he has said that what he will do if he were to become president again. That's a fear not just among the Democrats, but that's a fear among Republicans, you know, because there are some Republicans that follow the Republican or the Republican Party's views and how they look at how America should be, but they're not backing Trump per se. Granted, he is high in the polls based as a Republican front runner. He is killing Joe Biden as far as the front runner to be the president. But I think that what we have to look at when you think about it is that there are a lot of individuals that are in the middle, and they're not going to make up their decisions or make their decisions until it really gets down to the wire to decide what they're going to do. As far as go with the Republican candidate or the Democratic candidate, I think it's going to really come down to the wire. So this is going to be interesting, especially when the front runner is dealing with a lot of criminal, not just indictments now, charges. Okay, the indictments went through, the charges are there. And again, this is unprecedented. Never happened before. This is new territory. This is a whole new ballgame. It really is. So I'm just saying that I really don't think Donald Trump will be in prison, okay, at all. All right, so let me see here. Let me see if Janet's made it back. Nope, not yet. Okay, so here she is. She's done wave her hand. She's on the board. So please welcome the co-host, the lady of the house, the one, the only, Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet.
Hey. Not good. Not good.
Oh.
Gout. I have gout.
Oh.
I'm okay. All day. So, I'm here.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Well, I didn't expect that. But let me go over. I've been waiting for you to chime in, and so I went ahead and shared a few other things prior to you joining the conversation. And you can. So let's get to the main thing in the topic, and I'm trying to pull it up here. Okay, so let's look at this whole thing about Hunter Biden. Then we'll go into the young man who has been convicted of the murder. Hunter Biden, and I'm bringing up the story on this. So this comes from CNN, okay, Washington location. President Joe Biden is confronting the prospect of his son Hunter facing an embarrassing legal ordeal next year amid a host of other political obstacles and a possible rematch with Donald Trump. The additional criminal charges brought by the Justice Department against Hunter Biden on Thursday, which was 2 days ago, though expected, nonetheless amounted to a reminder of the personal strain the president will face as he gears up for the coming campaign. Months after a plea agreement for Hunter Biden collapsed in a Delaware courtroom, reality has set in, and among Biden's team, that his son's legal problems and the ensuing revelations about his lifestyle and struggles with addiction will remain in the news circle for months to come as the legal process plays on. Now, you share with me that you feel like that there's, which you said you were watching Fox News, and I know that Fox is going to say certain things. Fox is going to, you know, have their opinion because that's a Republican-based network, just like people said that CNN is a Democratic-based network. I get that. But the thing is that where I've always said that where, to me, it doesn't matter if there's evidence to bring any individual to court for anything, they should go through the legal process. Meaning Donald Trump, Hunter Biden, Santos, all of them. Just because what we have to remember, we sign their paychecks. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The company they work for is America. They work for the American public. They don't work for an independent, you know, they don't work for Walmart, CNN, this and that. They work for the well-being of their constituents, for their neighborhoods, states, this and the other. But we sign their paychecks, right? Because we elected them into office. Now, with Hunter, he's not a politician, but his daddy is. And people are saying, well, his daddy received money back when he was vice president and was aware of what his son was doing. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I disagree. Because, first of all, they had so many years of investigating Hunter Biden with the special person that was appointed by Barr, and he, at the final result, he said there was nothing substantial for Hunter Biden. And then all of a sudden, when people were complaining on the far right side, he retracted that and decided to press charges. You know, what Hunter Biden has done has nothing to do with his father. That's him. And he's owned up to it, but they're trying to find a way to charge Biden, well, impeach him. And because they can't find anything else on him personally, they're going after his son. When Hunter said he wanted to testify when they asked him to come in, and he said he wanted it to be public, oh, they didn't want that. They wanted to be behind closed doors so they could spin it the way they want to spin it. So, it's like apples and oranges. It's like the pot calling the kettle black. If that's the case, then not only should Trump be charged with things, but his son-in-law, who got $3.1 billion while he was helping in office, you know, for Ivanka, who got those trademarks, you know. So you can't find nothing on Biden, so you're going to drag his son down to in the mud. That's how I feel.
Now, the individual earlier today said that what
Trump
basically
one more thing. I'm sorry. Hunter paid his back taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he paid his back taxes, they're still trying to persecute him.
Okay, so let me just say this, and I'm going to step on board to another thing. Is that where an individual earlier said on the show that where, okay, it's the same thing that Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump paid those loans.
Mm-mm. It's not just the loans with Donald Trump. That's what people are failing to realize. It's not just the loans. It's how he inflated and deflated, how he took the documents to Mar-a-Lago and didn't refuse to give them back. It's all the things that Trump has done. It's not because he didn't pay back taxes.
No. What I'm saying is that it's not about the back taxes. It's about the loan with Donald Trump. It's the back taxes with Hunter. So but let me finish up. A loan is different than paying, you know, the taxes. You and I have to pay taxes. By the way, America, all of us pay taxes, okay, regardless. Everything you buy, there's a tax on it. There's no getting around it. You can't tell me, and I've heard folks say, I don't pay taxes. Well, maybe you don't pay property tax. Maybe you don't pay. No, when you buy a piece of food, you're paying tax. Okay, so get that out of your head, America. You're paying taxes, okay? So, but again, like you said, it's not about it's again, going back to apples and oranges in a sense. They're two different things to a certain extent, but it's just the fact that both of them did dupe the government or duped a bank. One duped the government, one duped the bank. Inflating, as you said, of the value of and this and the other, is that still considered illegal activity?
When Hunter was on drugs, he didn't pay his taxes. When he got clean, he paid his taxes. So people in America, I have gone 2 and 3 years without paying my taxes, and I never went to jail behind it. I never got fined. They give you so much time to pay your taxes. They really do. And I'm quite sure, Michael, there's been a time where you might have missed a year.
Be honest. Yeah, you're right. But you know what? That was when I didn't owe the government. They owed me. And I missed that year.
Well, when he didn't file, he didn't know whether he owed or not.
Well,
he just didn't file.
I have to say, what I'm saying, I failed to file, and that was when I was a much younger man, okay? I wasn't in my 60s then. I was back in my, you know, teens working, and I missed where the government could have gave me some money. Right. So it's not where they came after me and say, hey, look, you owe and you didn't pay. I never had that issue. But again, you know, it is a difference in a sense, but it's still the fact that if you were intentionally doing this, that's the thing. You know, intentionally knowing, you know, that you owe somebody, you owe this or you owe that, and you intentionally ignore it.
How do you know whether you owe if you don't file? And you don't know until
you
actually
file.
So
right.
he just didn't file. And they didn't see anything wrong with it until the far right started crying blues about Hunter Biden getting away with murder when he really wasn't. And so that's why the special counsel went after him again.
Okay. And I mean, that should be expected. That should be expected.
They want Biden to get into it, but has he? No.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's a thing where there have been things that have been said that President Biden was aware. There's individuals on the right who says that, well, President Biden was aware of the situation before it got to this point, okay, that there was some transactions. There's a recording. My dad is sitting right here with me waiting for the transfer of this and this and the other. There's a lot of stuff. Now, this is evidence, alleged evidence. Now, I keep using the word alleged because, as I said and I say to anybody, the thing is that I don't find anybody guilty until it is presented in the court of law. And it depends on how the prosecution presents their case and how the defense defends the actions of their client. Okay? That's the way the system is supposed to work. Right? So I'm not going to sit up here and say, oh, he's guilty. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is guilty of everything. I do know that he has done some stuff in the past that he was found guilty of. We all know that. So he's not, you know, he's not perfect.
They're only going after Hunter because Trump wants them to go after Hunter. That's the only thing.
Okay, and that is a strategy of where, you know, we'll use that. We will use that against them. And I get it. I get it. I understand it. Take the focus off of yourself of what you're dealing with and put it on someone else that has possibly not completely proven to commit a crime until it goes in front of a judge in court of law. I get it. You know, and this is what we have to look at every day. This is what we have to see every day. There's another thing that I want to look at with Hunter Biden. According to what they're saying, is that the millions of dollars that he spent on, allegedly again, because once it goes in front of the court of law, you know, I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at where, you know, all the money towards pornography, vacations, personal stuff like that. Same thing with Santos, right? He's dealing with the same thing, personal expenditures.
No, Michael, Santos took funds that was from the people, but Hunter didn't.
I'm not saying, okay, let me clarify this real quick. I know what you're about to say, but I'm just saying it where, but what they used the money or the money that they had, the things that they did, Santos took the money from the people, right? We're talking about Biden, what he did. That's a little bit different, but just the fact that they used or they did things for personal gratitude, right? Personal stealing is stealing.
If he stole, they would have had him underneath the jailhouse by now. If he actually stole something. Santos has been convicted of, indicted of stealing.
Indicted, not convicted, right.
Indicted.
Mm-hmm. Of taking money from the people, right.
Mm-hmm.
But in the
using it for
its
own personal gain, going to get facial, spending money that was supposed to not be for personal use.
I understand there's a difference. I understand there's a difference between the two. But the thing is that where there is still some point of it's kind of like the same thing in a sense. True enough. Stealing from the people is one thing. Let me finish, please. Stealing from the people is one thing. and that is where we're talking about Santos. He
took
the money that people were giving him on his personal, you know, thing.
I'm talking about Hunter. Did he take money from?
Excuse me?
No, I'm talking about Hunter. Who did he take money from?
No, I'm trying to make it clear. Santos, let me finish what I'm saying. Santos took from his constituents. We know that. Biden allegedly was taken of. I'm sorry, Hunter Biden. Same thing. I'm not talking about the president. His last name is the same. Okay. Allegedly had money, and he turned around and he took and was spending the money or getting money illegally from other countries other individuals and using that.
Wasn't he working for them? So he got paid for working. So you're trying to say he didn't work when he was over in Ukraine?
No, they're saying that, no, and that is what they're trying to say, is that no, he really didn't, or this was just a scheme. All these things were schemes. They're trying to say these were schemes. That's why he's really dealing with the situation.
It's all going to play out.
And again, they're trying to say that Daddy knew even when he was vice president. That's what's going on. And the thing is that what they want to do, it's not about Hunter, to be honest. It's about Joe. That Joe knew, and Joe went along with it. That's what they're really trying to do. In the long run, that's what they're trying to do.
Oh, Lord.
Excuse me? No, I'm saying that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, Hunter Biden is a grown man.
Janet, I know that, but you and I, we have our private conversations offline about this, that, and the other, but I'm just saying this aware. In my opinion, that's what they're trying to do, is saying that the president right now, the United States, was aware of this, covered this up. That's what they're trying to do. That's why they want to bring this forward. You should know that. I know that. Many other
I know what's false. I sat here today and looked at documents for several hours, and all it was Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. Nothing else, Hunter Biden.
Okay. So let's hope that at some point that you know, once all these trials, all these stories and allegations come to a point of where we as the American public get the full understanding of what's going on. We know that no one's perfect. People make mistakes. I, for one, believe that if you commit a crime, then you should go through the process. You should be able to be found innocent or guilty. And at this point, there's a bunch of individuals in the political realm that are in the hot seat. Many. On both sides. Not just Republicans or Democrats. And to be honest, I don't trust every side. I don't trust every I don't trust every Democrat. I don't trust every Republican. I don't, because we are all human, and greed is greed. And there's always been, regardless of what party you are part of, someone who has done something or tried to take advantage of the American public financially, and things that where I don't care. Republicans, Democrats, don't protect someone that is wrong, because that makes your party look bad. If there's evidence of them doing wrong to the American public, call them out and remove them, because that's where you're going to get your constituents. That's where you're going to get your voters
trust. So how are they going to remove Hunter Biden, and he's not even part of the political system?
Well, that's a different thing. Here's the thing, and I'm glad that you asked that question. They're investigating thinking that and believing that the President of the United States was aware of it and was part of it. If Joe Biden was aware of it and part of it, being aware does not make you a criminal, okay? I mean, just like if your son or daughter was out robbing houses and you knew it, you're not part of the criminal aspect of it. They're grown, as you just said. They're grown. You cannot stop an adult from doing what they want to do.
And everybody who testified,
but as long as you are not covering up, if someone came to you from the government and said, "Are you aware of this, or that, and the other?" and you say no, and they can prove that you were, then yeah, you're an accessory because you knew.
Everybody who testified during that committee that was supposed to be weaponization, when they tried to get them to say that Biden was aware, every one of them said he never acted like he was aware of anything. He only talked about fishing and stuff. So, you know, if he was making a deal, believe me, they would have had him underneath the jailhouse. They would have impeached him by now. This is going on his fourth year, and he has not been impeached.
Well, they did bring up the word impeach not too long ago, but no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, but still again, in order to do so, you have to be investigating, right? You have to be investigating. And that's the thing that I share with other folks that where, you know, the impeachment of Donald Trump, okay? They attempted that, but now you look at the January 6th thing, that's a whole different story there. And there's a lot of individuals on the Republican side that are coming forward, well, already came forward, and said, yes, former President Trump, excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't know why my throat is so scratchy, was aware of this. He knew what was going on, this and that, okay. These are individuals that worked within his realm. And that's what I have to look at. You know, and the thing is that people forget who you think are your best friends will turn on you. Look at Sammy the Bull, Gravano. Who did he turn on? The Don. Right? And I'm talking about gangster, Sammy the Bull, Gravano turned on the Don. Okay, to cover his ass. It doesn't change.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm sorry?
I said I don't know anything about that. That has nothing to do with politics.
What I'm talking about is this. If you remember the gangster era in Chicago, New York, this and that and the other, there were individuals who ruled those areas. There's been movies about it, you know what they call the Teflon Don and everything. It's the same thing I look at with Donald Trump. He's the Teflon president, and he has generals, in a sense, for lack of a better term, you know, that he trusted to do, you know, this and that and the other. What I'm saying is this, is that where history repeats itself. What happened back in the 1960s, 50s, 70s, 80s, you know, you had individuals who were ruling in certain areas, and some of their own best people caught up, because that's what the government does. They don't go directly after the individual they're getting. They go after the people that are underlings. And Sammy the Bull, Gravano, I believe was his last name, turned state evidence against the Teflon Don. Okay? And that's how he got arrested. The person who was closest to him turned on him. Take a look at it. When you can, when, and I think that's, you know, that's still the same way that things work now. with Donald Trump or anybody else, that where if they catch, meaning the government doing the investigation, can get someone who's an underling to testify, or better yet,
so
I'm
who's
sorry,
the
not
underling, Michael? I'd like to know who's supposed to be the underling, because I don't know anything about Sammy.
Okay, so I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna move on to the next topic. When you look at those individuals, and I'm pretty sure you know about, you know, the gangster mentality that happened back in the early days, not just in Chicago, but in California and everything. Every gangster had an individual that they had trust in. Okay, and what the government does, they do an investigation on that underling. Though they're still investigating the boss man, but they know, find the weakest link. Okay, Sammy the Bull Gravano was the right-hand man to the Teflon Don, what was his family last name? In fact, his daughter and his kids had a reality show after the fact. They had a reality show and made money off it. But the point I'm saying is that where what the government is going to do is try to find the weakest link. Now, let's say, for instance, you are an individual who works for the boss man, and then the government finds out that, hey, look, we find out that you were part of this murder, blah, 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 or this person was killed, blah, blah, blah. No, but we will work and deal with you if you give us the information on your boss. And that's what happened. Same thing in politics. Same thing. It's the same thing. Hey, look, I know that you worked for Donald Trump. I know that you worked for Joe Biden. But the thing is that we have evidence that this happened or this happened, and if you continue to cover up, we're going to put you in jail and everything.
Well,
and then that's when, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying that this is how it operates. We all know this. But the thing is that where they will put that out there of where this is what we already know. Keep in mind, whenever a person goes into, not whenever, but not all the time, but majority of the times, when a person is questioned, they already have the answers. So if you slip up and give the wrong answer and they already know the truth about it, now they got you. Because it's like, no, we already have the evidence that what you're telling us right now is a lie. Right? And that same thing still works with even when you're dealing with, let alone just the gangster crew, but the individuals that are in politics that are under indictment or either that they're investigating, they'll bring in the people, their underlings, the people who work for them, that they feel like, you know something about this, so we're going to question you. That's the way the system works, Janet. They're going to go after the underlings. They're going to go after the people who work underneath. They know. You got to know something. There's no way in the world you don't have no idea what was going on and tell us that, you know, no. Okay. You keep on lying, your ass is going to be in jail. And I think that that's what happens, what has been happening recently. Well, look at the Donald Trump thing. Individuals who went ahead and did plea deals based on what had occurred recently.
And you also had people who didn't get in trouble that gave up evidence that because they know what was happening was wrong. It didn't have to do a plea deal.
And that's where the government looks at it this way. They look at it where, you know what? We're not going to even charge you as long as you be upfront with us. Now they might put them on probation because they were not actually there, but you know something,
and you need to tell us what you know. And it's not just in politics. It's just in everyday. Every day. Individuals that know the person who committed the crime was aware that the crime was going to happen, but the investigation is based on the information given to who they really want, the one who planned it, who put it all together. Prime example, Ray Carruth, the former NFL football player who had his pregnant girlfriend killed. Hell, the guy who killed her, he didn't get the death penalty. He got life, but he turned around and testified on the prosecution he had because they knew it was him. You know what I'm saying? Same thing in politics. It's where when the federal government says, hey, look, we're going to investigate the former president, we're going to investigate this senator, this and the other, and they know you have some knowledge of what was going on, they're going to plea deal with you. So you don't spend years behind bars or less. That's the way the system works, Jeremy, and you know that.
Michael, let's move on because,
Let's move on to the next topic. And I'm going to move on to the next topic, Janet. So what we're going to do is, let me pull that up. Okay, so let's look at this Michigan teen who was sentenced for life for a school shooting that killed 4. That's crazy. But okay, let me go through the topic or let me go through the story real quick, just a little bit of it. Michigan's teen sentenced to life for school shooting that killed 4, Barney said. A judge sentenced a Michigan teen to life in prison on Friday for killing 4 students and terrorizing others at Oxford High School in 2021. Wow, 2 years ago. After listening to hours of gripping anguish from parents and wounded survivors, Judge Kwame Rowe rejected pleas from defense lawyers for a shorter sentence and ensured that Ethan Crumley, 17, will not get an opportunity for parole. 17, you guys. Moments before learning his fate, the teen apologized and appeared to agree with his victims that the sentence punishment was appropriate. Any sentence, and this is in quote, that they ask for, I ask that you do impose it on me, the shooter said. I want them to be happy, and I want them to feel secure and safe. I do not want them to worry another day. I really am sorry for what I've done, but I can try my best in the future to help other people, and that is what I will do. Life sentences for teenagers are rare in Michigan since the U.S. Supreme Court and the state's highest court said the acts of minors must be viewed differently than the crimes of adults. But Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald said a no parole order fit the Oxford case. Quote, it's not a moment to celebrate, McDonald said outside court. It's tragic. And the voices today, I think, profoundly show that. Indeed, Rowe's decision followed deeply emotional remarks by families of the deceased and survivors who said the tragedy had imperably turned their lives upside down. Crumley, who was 15 when he committed the shooting, pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and terrorism. He brought a gun to school, but his backpack was never checked, even after his parents were summoned the same day about their son's drawings, which included a gun and words.
hours, the thoughts won't stop. Help me. I find this interesting, and there's more to this whole story, where he says, I am a really bad person. I've done terrible things. The judge said the shooting was planned well in advance, and he noted that the shooter had plenty of time to stop as he walked through the school. Roe was especially troubled by how victim Hannah St. Juliana was repeatedly shot, and that another, Justin Schilling, was shot at point-blank range in a bathroom while another student was forced to watch. He described it as execution and torture. You know, we see these stories, and we hear these stories all the time of young folks shooting individuals at school. Just this week, just a couple of days ago, at UNLV, another shooting, and I believe it's like three people were murdered. And I believe the shooter was killed. Right?
Right.
And I believe it was a professor who applied for a job at different schools and was turned down.
Why was he turned down?
Well, I don't know. It said he applied. You know, I mean, anybody can apply for a job and get turned down. I didn't hear the detail of why, but he did apply for different places, including this school, and was turned down.
He now knows how to do. And we sort of see that he's kind of giving us clues. For example, that interview recently that
I'm sorry, Jim. You sound like you're in a can. You're on the speakerphone.
And then he said, I do think we're really seeing it in
Janet, I can't hear you.
I moved into another room, and I had to
turn. Okay, so I didn't hear you. Yeah, it sounded like you were in a can.
Oh, I hadn't said anything. I was trying to mute the phone.
Oh, okay. All right, so again, like I said, based on this young man here, he was only 15. What makes a 15-year-old want to go kill another person?
They said he wanted notoriety.
Done what?
I guess because of all the other stuff that had been in the news, you know, because he didn't try to kill himself. He went back and shot a few people more than one time to make sure they were dead.
Okay. But you said notoriety. Notoriety.
Well, that's
who,
what
I mean.
Notoriety because he wanted to be in the news to say that he did this.
Hmm. Okay.
That was in the
point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, maybe I didn't read all the way through. I was trying to look at to get understanding of or to share the fact that how this occurred. But let me see if I can go ahead and it says, I looked through the glass. My scream should have shattered it. Shilling's mother, Jill Salves, told the shooter that he executed a boy. Okay, I'm trying to look at where.
I'm trying to pull it up.
Where he wanted notoriety.
That's what they said on the news today.
Well, I'm trying to see if it's in this article.
Shoulder insured, Ethan.
I don't see that here, but if you have it. I don't see that. But again.
I'll look for it.
Okay. But again, you know, here's a young man who was only 15 years old.
At the time.
and he has access, and he has, hold on a minute, he has access to a gun at 15.
I think the parents are in trouble, too.
Think so. But as I was about to say, he is 15 years old, and he has access to a gun. Now, let me say this. If your child is 15 years old, and let's say you have alcohol in the house, and they have access to it, and they go and drink it and share it with their friends and are drunk and out on the street, out in public, as a parent, you're in trouble. You should be, because that's not something that is sold or given to minors, right? And let alone if they get out there and commit a crime under the influence of alcohol that they should not have access to. Think about it. It's your responsibility to protect your child from something that children should not have access to. Come on, y'all. This is common sense. It's your responsibility, not the child. Your responsibility. My parents, I mean, my dad had guns in the house. I knew where they were. Seen the guns. You know what? He had locks on them. Some folks say, well, what's the use of having a lock on the gun if you needed it? Well, no, you lock it when you're not at home. You put the lock on it when you're not at home. But when you carry it with you, that's a different story. But if you feel like you have to have that gun when you're at home, make sure that gun is in your private space, meaning the parents' bedroom. Because one thing, I was not allowed to go into my parents' bedroom unless I was emptying the trash. I could not hang out in my parents' bedroom. I couldn't venture through my parents' bedroom. But yeah, I do agree that parents, you know, should be held accountable for certain things that the children have access to in the home. I believe that. An accident should not happen if you're able to prevent it. I'll say it again. An accident should not happen if you are able to prevent it. In this case with this young man at 15 years old, something was not going right in his life and with his parents and with his family for him to now, at 17, spend the rest of his life behind bars. And think about what I just read, what he said about, I apologize. Whatever you sentence me, I deserve. At the age of 15, I'm wondering, why? And now 17, he's going to spend the rest of his life behind bars. He wasn't born that way, you guys. No one is born with that much hate and anger. No one is. It's a learning process, in my opinion. It's a learning process to take a life and feel like you should, especially when it comes to innocent individuals. I don't get it. Okay, so time is now 7:18. We got a little more time left on the show. almost 30, oh, I'm sorry, almost about 40 minutes. Let me see here. There's another topic I want to get into, which I think should be interesting. Thinking maybe I want to take a music break. I'm thinking about it. Okay, I made up my mind. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick music break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. You know, the new show host, the individual who has the new show here on the network, that chimed in, and we were so into the conversation. I was about to bring him on, and I think he'll be able to come back after our music break. But let me go ahead and play this track. Here is 3TOB, okay? These guys are the original members. And I hope you can hear me now. These guys are the original members of the group called Tony, Tony, Tony. Actually, Tony, Tony, Tony had like 7, 8 members. And they did a remake of a Frankie Beverly and Maze classic featuring David Hollister. So let's check this one out, you guys. I think you're going to love it. Here's David Hollister, 3TOB, with Golden Time of the Day.
In your mind, you will find
evening and welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Kay Show, broadcasting live on that TMGN here on Blog Talk Radio. That was 3TOB, which is the original band. The original band of Tony. Like I said earlier, the band consists of like 7-8 guys. And you guys get a chance, go to YouTube and check out Loyalty No Royalty. There's a great documentary from Mr. Elijah Baker, the original bass player for Tony. And that was Golden Time of Day, featuring David Hollister. Great, great rendition of that song. All right, let me move forward to another topic that I want to talk about. What is it about people this time of year that they just feel like they're entitled when they go shopping? I'm trying to understand that. As I've already shared, I'm part of the management team of a major chain here, and people come to the store thinking that what is normally a Black Friday item, and you know how they do Black Fridays at every store in America, you know, things haven't changed. Well, to a certain extent they have, but they have certain products they put on sale, right? And they expect you to get up early in the morning and come to the store and buy that product. But some of y'all think that at 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, that sale is still going on. Keep in mind, a lot of advertisement says, while supplies last, right? While supplies last. They didn't make that store or that building for that one item and stock 1,000 units of it in that particular store. Keep in mind they have other stores they have to stock too. But it's while supplies last. That's why they open up at a certain hour. That's why they get security and this, that, and the other. You know, in some places they even have police officers at the locations for these Black Friday events. But people want to come in the evening and say, do you still have such and such in stock? And I'm like, did you not know it's not going to be here at 5 o'clock or 6 p.m. when the store opened at 6 a.m.? Did you not realize that with your dumbass question? I mean, this is that time of year it happens. This is the time of year when people feel like something should be there when they want it. And they get really belligerent. Some really do. Some really get upset. Well, I'm looking at it on the internet and it says you have it in stock. How many does it say it's in stock? It says you have two. Two. Really? Well, we had 200. But, you know, the number could be off by 2. Are you serious? You're really going to think that product is still here? Are you really going to take the chance of thinking that there's 2 of them still sitting on the shelf waiting on your ass to decide to come and get it? Come on, people. See, here's what's happening a lot now. Online buying, online purchasing has become so big that the person who walks in the store can be like looking at an item and be like deciding if they want it. Someone online can purchase it. And what happens is the people who do what they call certain stores, you know, online picking, will come right down the aisle and grab that item and take it off the floor because now it's paid for. while you're deciding if you want to buy it. They're like, oh, I want that. Nope. Sold. Well, it's sitting right here. I can still buy it. No, you can't. Someone just bought it on scene. So you can't. There was an item that was for sale at a store, and they put it online, and every one of them were sold. Seriously, every single one of them. And trust and believe, there were a lot of them in stock before the store even opened on Black Friday. That's why they do online. I see 585-80. Oh, okay. They were there. Oh, okay. 585-802. I see you have your hand up. Maybe you want to chime in on this. I mean, I just find it interesting during this time of year. But 585-802, you're on air. Oh, another number. I'm
it's
just
been a weird
you.
Day. My phone died on me.
I see. Okay.
I'm in the process of getting a new dog.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. Well, let me say this, is that where I see some numbers here on the board, and you guys are welcome to wave your hand. But, Janet, since you've been gone and you're back on, I'm talking about the process of buying online and the where people feel like they're entitled to get what they want when they come to a store. Do they not know that online buying is very popular and that maybe you need to try it out? Because people come into a store and think that that item should still be there. But again, as I just said to the listeners, remember, there's always that small print that says, while supplies last. Am I wrong?
Nope. I think people need to...
Go ahead.
I think people need to really investigate, do their research before they venture out to see what store it still is available at. And then that way there they won't be disappointed.
Well, you could do the research, but let me tell you what happens, because I know, what is Black Friday now? Black Friday is whatever a company wants to make it. It's not just after Thanksgiving. Black Fridays now start weeks in advance online. A lot of folks are used to Cyber Mondays, but companies now have pre-Black Friday events. Hell, the store I work at, we're about to do another one. This is our fourth Black Friday. And that's the way companies operate now. We're going to put this on sale the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to put this on sale prior to Thanksgiving online. These certain items we're going to put on sale online exclusively. They're not available in the store yet. And whatever is left over might be in the store. $100 television? Hell yeah, they're going to pay that. I mean, they're going to order it online. Come and pick it up. So many stores get so many in quantity. But for you to wait, and let's say they put it out there a week in advance, and for you to wait until Black Friday and think that item's still going to be there, that's your own ignorance, in my opinion. Because those are just for that particular time. They're not going to stock that same item again. Another thing, pay attention to the packaging of that product. When you look at it online, pay attention to the packaging. There are certain brands that I'm not going to give you all the details, but there are certain brands that package differently. Look at what the quality of it is. Again, the research. What's the resolution? What is the refresh rate on this particular television, this and the other. You know, just because it says 4K doesn't mean it's 4K. It's a UAD? Okay, cool. It has Roku on it? Cool. But do the research on it, like Janet just did, or just said. But you do have individuals who are really upset, and they will be mad. I'm going to call corporate. That's false advertising. No, it's not. They gave you every opportunity to buy it while supplies last. They told you to buy it in advance online. They told you. We're going to start our Black Friday on the 8th of this month, or the 7th, online. But you want to wait and come into the store. Come on, people. And then what happens, there are certain items they put on sale for a certain period of time. Then here comes event number two. Well, here comes some new items they're going to put on sale online and in the store. Then comes event number three. And here comes event number four. Different product. Same stuff. Television everything. But a different grade. And different prices. Do your research and read. Does that make sense, Janet?
Yes, it does. Makes sense.
But unfortunately, people are not. But unfortunately, people are not doing that. People are assuming that Black Friday is just, you know, I think they need to just put that on the American calendar now. Black Friday. How long it lasts, we don't know. It's just going to be there. How many events, how many times we're going to say it during the month of, you know, from October until January, because that's what it's turning into. Special sales. Okay? When? All month long on certain days in that month. Seriously, you guys, it's got to be looked at in that sense of where, hey, it's all about selling. It's all about making sales. It's all about changing up product, changing up prices, changing up, and when I say product, you know, there's certain electronics that are, to be honest, not the best of quality. Look, you get what you pay for. If you can get a 50-inch television for $100, God bless you. Don't expect it to last forever. Promise you that. You don't get the warranty, which sometimes the warranty is higher than what the TV costs. Well, go ahead and pay that extra $50 for the warranty if you want to. But it's all about pulling in the suckers. I'm sorry, I'd have to just call it like I see it. There was a time that I would not get a warranty on some products. But the stuff that I spend high dollar on, yeah, I buy the warranty. I read the warranty. It's not about them fixing it. It's about replacing it. And look at the quality of the product that you're buying. Janet said, do your research. Don't impulse buy because of the price. And people do that. Ooh, look at here, Crystal. They got a 70-inch for $200. Mm-hmm. Sure do. How much is the warranty? Well, the warranty is $50. No, I don't want that. And once the store warranty runs out, or whatever warranty, and you didn't get the extended warranty, Now, you stuck with TV that if it goes bad, you ain't going to get nothing back at all. I mean, if you have something to say, Dennis, go ahead. But I'm just sharing that. Also, when I talk about
No, I was just listening. You know, that's your forte.
That's the reality that I see all the time. It's the reality. It's not my forte. It's the reality.
Well, when I said that, Michael, because you know we had heated discussions about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. And I keep trying to educate folks of where, hey, look, don't impulse buy.
TV anyway.
Mm-hmm. Especially on electronics.
Because you said that's a cheap brand.
Well, you know, every major brand has a cheaper version of their top of the line. Most major brands do have a cheaper version of theirs. Samsung, I mean, is one of the best brands you can buy when it comes to televisions. Samsung makes a lot of stuff. They make phones. They make, you know, televisions. They make refrigerators. They make everything. Now, one thing in my experience I've learned about Samsung is that they have state-of-the-art electronics and state-of-the-art product. When I worked for a certain company, I used to have to load their refrigerators, and they're about the heaviest damn refrigerators I ever dealt with in my life. Okay. LG, another good brand. They make everything from televisions to refrigerators to washers and dryers. They make a lot of different types of appliances. Theirs are built, you know, that same way. But then again, you know, it depends on when you look at that name brand, and a lot of folks look at that name brand and think, oh, that's got to be great. Well, yeah, it's great. But you have to do the research of that level of the product. Vizio has different televisions. They have a version D, a version B. The D is their lower line. The B is more of a top line. But people look at it where, oh, well, that's Vizio. That got to be great. No, you got to do your research of what is the quality of that line of their product. See what I mean? Don't get fooled by the name brand alone. Do the research and look at as far as that particular version of that television or that serial number or that line of it. You know, it's just like a car. Just because it's a Mercedes-Benz doesn't mean every Mercedes is perfect. They have their lower line and they have their upper line.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go by the name. And that's what I see where people are running out spending money over these holidays, buying based on name brand and not doing the research of the quality of the product. And it's so easy to do. You can do it on your phone, on your laptop. Do the look at the reviews on the product. So many companies try to tell you how, you know, of what to look into. But people don't do that. So now that we're in real deep into the holiday season, okay, Thanksgiving is over. Now people are shopping for Christmas. We recently put a lot of stuff on sale as far as certain things, not everything. But as you guys know, when it gets to the point of the day coming, especially after
Christmas Day, a lot of stuff go on sale. Are you one of those type of people that will buy after Christmas, meaning decorations and all that type of stuff, buy them and they drop it down to 50-75% off and save it for next year? Or are you the type of person like, oh, that's this year's stuff, I'll wait until next year and buy the new stuff?
Every year I say that I'm going to catch the sales after Christmas because that's the best time to buy things off season. I have several friends who really rake, or you know, out on buying like winter coats for a dollar. That's like a $100 coat. You know, they catch these, go to the clearance rack, and I every year I say I'm going to do the same thing, and I end up not doing it. But I'm going to make it my business to do it this year for sure. Because I see the sales. I see the merchandise that they get, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you might think they spent $1,000. Listen, I had a friend who used to buy for at least 60 people at the job. You would think she spent $1,000, but she didn't. She caught off season. And so people were like, oh, my God, you know, because they were getting expensive gifts. But she paid little.
You're sounding a little muffled, Janet. You're sounding a little muffled.
She paid little or nothing for the gift that she purchased for her coworkers. Because she told me that little secret. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, she raked up.
Yeah.
So catch sales. Buy off season. If you have to buy a bigger size, buy a bigger size, because it's going to be well worth it in the end.
You know, and I'm glad that you said that and share that to the listeners, aware you don't have to be the first. You don't have to be the best. Buying off season or buying after, you know, the holidays, especially when it comes to decorations and stuff like that. There's a woman who, well, back when I worked with for another company, she'd come in after Halloween, and a lot of the stuff, the blow-ups and the electronic stuff, you know, would be like $30 when you first, you know, when they first go on sale. I'm sorry, when they first put on the floor. But the day after, a couple of days later, that stuff will be, if it's $30, it'd be like $5. The displays, half or more. Who's going to walk in, or when it comes to Christmas trees, who's going to walk in your house and say, oh, that's last year's model? No, it ain't. They don't know that. Decorations? And again, with clothing? Oh, that, I saw that last year. Who's going to say that? And you don't say, and the thing is that where when people pay the regular price and then they see that you got it for 75% off, they ain't going to be happy to hear that, because you were patient, you waited, and you got the best deal. Keep in mind that stores cannot keep the same product forever. They got to make room for more product. Stores are getting truckloads of stuff every day. They got to get rid of that inventory. Ain't about what it looks like. It's about we got to make room for what we got to bring in to keep selling. So take your time. Get those sales. Seriously. And the thing is that there's folks who buy gifts. I know folks who buy stuff on the off season and will save it until next year, or save it until a birthday is coming, or Mother's Day is coming, or Father's Day is coming. They buy that stuff and they repackage it. It might come in a Christmas box. What they do, they take it out the Christmas box and put it into another box and put the little fringes on it and, happy birthday. Oh, you shouldn't have. I didn't. It was really a Christmas thing, but I got it at the low, and repackaged it.
They're not going to say
no. That. No. No, I know they're not going to say that yet, but, you know, I'm just trying to be funny, okay? I have a different sense of humor. But in your mind, you can say that. No, I didn't. But here you go. They don't know the difference. You know, as they say, it's the thought that counts. If you take the time out to think and say, you know, I could save some money and still make somebody happy and be creative. Mm-hmm. That's all
well,
that
Michael,
matters.
I have a birthday coming up on the 12th of December.
Okay.
I'm forewarning you.
Okay.
Don't buy.
So I'm going to go.
Don't give me last year's gift.
Don't get. And how will you know the difference? If I'm going to be creative, I'm just sharing with folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sharing with folks. Look, be, you know, financially, you know, I know things are not easy to buy and it's tough. You know, prices have gone up on almost everything. You know, I see it every day.
You know, they say it has, but it really hasn't. You know, they're trying
to say inflation.
No, the inflation is not as bad as people are trying to make it out to be, Michael.
Janet, okay. I'm not going to debate with you on air with this because the thing is, again, remember, I work in retail. I'm a manager in retail, and I see it. And I see,
I don't care, some items, but not all items. You might be in retail. Do you actually purchase it? I purchase it.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to purchase my needs. I have to purchase money, and I get an employee discount, and it's still high as hell to me at times. Because, see, I look at over the years,
maybe you need
I look at where,
a
I, can I finish what I'm saying? I look at where, you know, when I first started with this company or that company, when it was like a dollar cheaper, that dollar more or that 50 cents more makes a difference. It makes a difference.
I saw
there was a pack of cookies. No, hold on. There was a pack of cookies. Let me finish. There was a pack of cookies I would get that was only a dollar. Now they're $1.50. That's 50 cents more I have to pay every time I want to eat those cookies, right? So you do the math. And I used to get them almost every day. Oatmeal raisin. Love them.
Well, just buy
that's
a bigger bag.
50 cents more. That's 50 cents more a day I have to pay. Do the math.
Buy a bigger container instead of buying one at a time.
I'm trying to finish.
Mm-hmm.
They come in a certain way. You cannot change that, okay? So let me finish.
Okay, they only come for $1.50.
You can they only
get a big bag.
If you let me finish, Janet, I will explain to you. They come three cookies in a pack or in a package. Only three.
And
they don't package them any other way. Only three. So let me finish. Only three. You can't get them in a bulk. This and the other. They were a dollar. It's a Walmart brand. They're very good.
Well, I mean, you can't tell me the name of them.
They're on a little rack when you come through the door towards Goldfree area. Most stores are going to have them there. Again, let me finish. They were a dollar. They went up 50 cents more. Now, do the math. I would buy those just about every day. I work 5 days a week, $5 a week. Now, it's an additional $2.50. Right? You do the math. So that's $7.50 when I was only paying $5 before taxes. Okay?
Well, I don't know because you can't tell me the name of the cookie. So it's a moot point.
I told you it's a Walmart brand. It doesn't say Walmart. I don't know. No, it's a, yes, they do. Walmart has a certain brand with a certain name. I think it's called Simply or something like that. I'll have to figure it out. But it is a brand only sold through Walmart, just like certain things they have in the grocery area
it has a name, but it is exclusive to Walmart, okay? A lot of stuff in the deli areas, it has a brand, Simply or Simple or something like that. They have juices and all that stuff, okay? It's only sold at Walmart. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But anyway, I'm just saying that, yes, the cost has gone up a lot of stuff. I get a discount on those items. You don't get discounts on prepared food. No. Cooked food, no, you don't. You don't get a – you can use your card. It don't matter. Prepared, cooked food, no. But packaged stuff, yes, you do. I'm just saying that where, yes, the cost has gone up on a lot of stuff. It's gone up on a lot of stuff. And that's how come I'm saying that where when you look at people who are – which the whole thing is when I said about folks who feel like they're entitled to having discounts on products. I had a woman one day. Her and her family came in buying a Christmas tree, and they wanted a particular one. I said, oh, okay, that's one of my departments. Here, I got it. And the woman spoke in Spanish, you know, to her son, and her son said, my mom wants to know, is there a discount on this? I'm like, no. Now, this was like a month ago. I'm like, why would Walmart start discounting Christmas trees when they just brought them out? Are you serious? As you get closer to Christmas, maybe, but you're talking about we just brought this product out and you think we're giving discounts, half off and stuff? Come on, people. And she said, no discount? No. This is new product. That's like me opening up a restaurant and saying, everything off, half off. How am I going to make any money? It makes no sense. And people think that they should get a break on something when there's no reason to give you a price break whatsoever. That one blew me away. I was like, really? You really think Walmart, I mean, that Target or Home Depot is going to put out a new product and say half off? Really? Again, like I said, you have to understand and people need to realize these companies, or these stores, have to move the product. They have to sell it to make room. They don't have back rooms full of back stock of old stuff. Okay? Their whole thing is sell it. They got to make room. When you look at stores that have like Martha Stewart and other name brands, okay, that's real estate. That's when you have Ralph Lauren has his own display there. That's real estate. You can't put nobody else's product there other than Ralph Lauren. You can't even hang a little, what they call a little side strip over there. Coca-Cola. When you go into a store and you see a big thing of Coca-Cola, you can't put something else next to it. Coca-Cola owns that spot. The store is laid out accordingly. It's laid out and it's an agreement. It's a contract of where their product will be. Coca-Cola's at the front door, not in the back of the store, because they want their product to be seen. This is Georgia, right? You don't see Pepsi. Pepsi can't be there. Only Coke products, because this is the home of Coca-Cola. Right? Makes sense. You won't see, you know what I'm saying? You just won't see that. You just won't see it. And that's the thing, is that I just want folks to understand. Think when you shop. Think before you go shopping. I'm not an online buyer per se. I'd rather see the product in front of my face, see what the quality of what it's made of. You know, you can look at it at the picture that they show you. Is this really good? I mean, it's made out of plastic. How good is that plastic? It's made of metal. You know, how good is the metal of it? You know, if it's in the store, I'd rather go to the store and, you know, visually inspect it. That's just me. But bottom line, you know, is something that is convenient. You know, one thing I won't buy online is my groceries. I will not buy food online because I don't want no kid picking out my meats and vegetables. I'd rather go to the store, especially if you're cooking for family or friends. Now, let me ask you this. Is there someone, whether it be a family member or friend, don't call out any names, that during the holidays, you're not really happy with the dish they bring? And are you kind about it, or do you just, you know, take a little bit of it and say, I'll eat it later? Is there someone that you know they really can't cook, but you try to be nice? Is there someone? Not at all?
No.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry for coughing, you guys. That's something in my throat. Okay. I see there's some numbers on the board, and I was wondering if they could respond. Is there someone who's cooking that you really don't care for, that you just don't share it with them? So you're welcome to hit the number or go to the chat room. I can say I know a couple of folks whose cooking I really don't care for, but I try to be nice. Hello, someone did hit the number one. 301-919, welcome to the show. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Michael Gay Show. Hey, Janet. Hey, Michael. It's Makisha, your sister.
Hey. Hey, baby sis. How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm that person that you just described. So my parents came over the other day. I said, yeah, let me cook for you. They said, no, don't put yourself through the trouble. It's okay. It's okay. I said, okay, let's do some takeout. It's like, yeah, we'll do takeout. So it's me. I'm the one, Michael.
Hey, there you go. Now, see, you being honest with yourself. You're being honest with yourself. I'm glad of that. You know, see, that's very rare here on the TMGS, where people chime in and tell the truth about themselves. Not everybody is a chef. Not everybody is great in the kitchen, you know. But they can learn. You know, they really can. So, you know what? I have to give that to you, my sister. Let's give an applause to Makisha. Yes. Thank you, Makisha. I was waiting for that honest answer.
You're welcome.
But let me ask you this. Okay, so I'm sure that you don't know what it is. They probably. What do you think is the best dish or the one dish that you feel confident that you can make?
Oh, bro, I hook up a breakfast, little steak. I mean, yeah. So the bacon, the eggs, the grits, Right, when it comes to dinner, I hook you up a steak with a potato and some veggies. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm glad you said that because, now, one thing that was interesting is that when I was coming up, my stepmom at the time could never make rice. It was either mushy or uncooked. You know what I'm saying? Where it would be mushy, but then you would get those little you would get those bites that would be like crunchy. You know, she never could. And so as a kid, seriously, I would be outside playing and it's like, Michael, I'm like, huh? Come here. I'm like, after a while, I'm like, here we go again. I know what it is. I have to come in the house and make the rice. And granted, to be honest, I really didn't understand no formula about it, but I just saw, you know, a show one time of how to do it. And I told her, I said, this is what I saw. And I tried to teach her. You don't take the lid off. You let it boil. You have one part rice, two parts water, put a little salt. You know, now folks put butter oil in. And put the lid on, bring it to a boil, and just leave it for 20 minutes. But she never could figure that one out, you know. So every time it was always me to make the rice for the household, you know, regardless of the size of the pot. But I like what Sis said about the breakfast. Now, I was really good at making the pancakes and stuff. You know, one of my brothers would be like, Michael, you go make some pancakes this morning. How come y'all can't make pancakes? Because you know how. So I make the pancakes. No argument there, you know. You know, but you you have some folks that are good at certain things and not good at other things. But I'm glad that you can make a good breakfast, sis.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike. Hey, Mike, any young lady listening to this show, please watch your grandmothers while they still are able to cook. Watch them, because that's what I was not doing. I was too busy reading books. And I missed out because my one of them is passed on and one of them don't cook no more. So, young lady, watch grandma, watch mama. Thank you. Public service announcement.
Hey, you know, that's a good point, you know, and the thing is that where I learned when I moved to Georgia, and keep in mind, I moved here when I was in my 20s, my first moving here. I had two aunts that lived across the street from each other. And, y'all, this is the South. And, in fact, Janet knew both my aunts. I would just watch them cook without a measuring cup. They would just do, as they say, a little dash of this, a little dash of that. And I started learning their recipes, you know, just watching them, standing there in the kitchen or sitting at the dining room table and looking at them, you know, grab certain things. And there was one thing that my Aunt May used to make, and everybody loved it. It was her squash casserole. Do you remember that, Janet? Zucchini casserole. Squash. And that would be the first thing to disappear immediately. Seriously. And she wouldn't make a large batch of it. It'd just be a small amount. It was like a, it was like an appetizer thing. It was gone. If you didn't get to her event, you know, when it started, you would miss it. And I took that recipe, and then I started adding, like, Italian sausage to it. And then I would make a bed of rice, and I shared it with her. She said, that's very good. So I was proud that she approved of my adjustment to it. But no one could beat hers. You know, she was just awesome at that. But like you said, sis, watch grandma, watch auntie. You know, in the kitchen, make time to do that. You can learn a lot of great recipes if you plan on getting married and you think that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, start watching grandma and grandpa, because that's how you and your mama and daddy got here. Either way. But, yeah, learn from the experts. Learn from them. Because nowadays, folks are watching too many videos of how to cook. That video was right there in your parents. Okay, so we're going to get out of, on out of here. We just got about another. I did extend the show for a few minutes. Janet said there's no one in her family, basically, who cannot cook, which that's a good thing. When it comes to gift giving, let me ask you this.
Do you order online and ship? Let's say it's someone that's out of state. Do you buy the product and wrap it yourself and ship it? Or do you just send money via bank account transfer or through something like a Cash App and let them get what they want? Anyone can answer.
Mike, you cannot go wrong with money and gift cards. And sometimes people try to take stuff back behind your back. I like to avoid that. So money it is, gift cards it is for me. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the same way. Okay. I prefer getting gift cards because everybody don't know what you might what you like, you know. And they might end up picking something out that you never even use. So it's better to just give me a gift card and let me pick my own stuff out.
And I think that's what, you know, because now, I mean, it is, I mean, unless it's your significant other, right, and you know what they might be lacking, you know what I'm saying, a husband and wife. No, my husband always talks about this and that and the other. You know, he wish he had that. He wish he had this. That's different. Maybe you could go buy it. But then again, a lot of folks are like, well, I don't know what brand he wants, what he likes. You know what I'm saying? You might be lucky in buying that gift, you know. But again, I agree with both of you of getting a gift card and letting them pick and choose what they want based on what you give. Now, the thing is that when it comes to how much you put on that gift card, do you go by what they're telling you that they wish they had and put that amount on, or you just give a gift card and say, hey, you know, hopefully this can go towards it, or do you try to put what they want on the gift card? Does that make sense? If they share what they're looking for, what they want, do you try to go ahead and put that dollar amount on there, or do you like, oh,
no,
wait a minute.
I just give the gift card. But I have to go because I'm getting a gift, and I need to see what that gift is because someone just bought me something. And I was
going to open it up
in that, so. No, I'm good. I got to hang up to call to find out get my gift.
Okay, I'm saying, but you're not going to open it up before Christmas, or is this for your birthday?
Birthday.
Oh, okay. So you're fortunate. You're going to get birthday gifts and Christmas gifts all in one month.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Janet.
Okay. Thank you. It's the 12th, though, of December.
Okay.
I'm sharing with a granddaughter and a great-grandson. Because, yeah, so we got a lot going on this month.
Well, happy birthday, co-host. Happy birthday, my sister.
Thank you. Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And you guys know that Janet has been with me and been supporting what I've been doing over the past how many years now? We're going on 10? Might as well say.
Yeah. Right.
About 10 years.
Close to it.
So, yep. Been my ride or die, even though we have our ride and die moments. But I love her. She's just an amazing supporter of what we've been doing. I don't look at this being me. It's so many people involved, but Janet has always been the ride and die. And happy birthday, my sister. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I'm not gonna re-gift you. I promise that. Okay. Go and get your gifts, sister.
Yeah, thank you. All right, you take care. Bye, Mike.
You too, God bless.
Bye.
All right. Janet Davis, thank you so much. Makisha, what you got coming up this evening? Are we going live or Memorex?
It's going to be live, bro. We have a young man named George P. Brooks who is a mental health advocate, and he also is a person who, you know, has some mental illness, and so it's going to be a very interesting, heartfelt discussion tonight.
Okay. I look forward to listening in. I see there's a, what Jay King calls a secret squirrel here on the board, a 111 number. You see, I mean, I'm sure you've seen that on your board, right? So they've been here for a minute. They haven't waved their hand, but if it's who I think it is, I know I'm going to hear it from them on another show somewhere in the future. But well, thank you, 111, for chiming in. Hey, you guys, I did extend the show a little bit to get some of these topics out, and I'm glad that Makisha Best has joined us. Makisha, let everybody know how they can listen into your show this evening.
Yes, sir. Blogtalkradio.com. The J. King Network is what we're on. If you do a search for that, we'll pop up. We're on Saturdays at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wonderful show tonight, bro. You have me cracking up and thinking at the same time.
Wait a minute, the J. King Network, that sounds familiar. Oh, I used to be on there. I'll tune in. You know, I always support the network, and I appreciate you guys. Love the conversations that you have. And, yeah, I will definitely attend. I did have a person here on the board I wanted to chime in before we get out of here. Let me text him real quick and have him come on, because I really wanted them to do so, because the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, is expanding. We do have new shows, and there's one that comes on every Sunday, and I'm so happy that this young man took my offer to have their own show, and he broadcast two new shows Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central, because he broadcasts out of Birmingham, Alabama. So let me see if I can get him real quick, you guys. He was on the board in the middle of one of our topics. Let me just text him real quick and see if he can call in. Real quick. And see if we get him to go ahead and share about what his show is about coming up tomorrow evening. And let me see. He should be joining us momentarily. If not, we'll go ahead and shut down and get ready for his show Sunday. His name is Darian, young man, as I said. Interesting topics, interesting conversation. He has an interesting point of view. Okay, so he said, yeah, they're having bad weather over in Birmingham, which I'm sure they are, because it's coming this week. By the way, I'm broadcasting. I'm sitting outside of my house on my porch, and now all of a sudden it's starting to rain over here just as I'm speaking, so I can imagine what's going on in Birmingham right now. Also, there's another show coming up with Okay. Yeah, he said he's going to try to call it. Also, I have another show that's going to be starting on Thursday evenings, and I think you guys will like this young lady. She has been on air for some time. Miss Andrea James is going to be joining. But let me go ahead and open up the microphone here. And welcome, Mr. Darian Reynolds. Let's see, your mic's open. Darian, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good.
All right. You guys, please put your hands together for the new host, in fact, the host of his own show called Truth Spoken. Mr. Darian Reynolds has joined us this evening. Darian, hey, man, thank you for being patient. I know you had chimed in earlier and we were in the middle of a conversation or a topic, but thanks for calling back in. Let people know what to expect on Sundays on your show, the title and all that good stuff, and what you got coming up.
My title, what I was going to say, I was really going to talk about, like, you know, just, it's got, I'm in the middle, I'm on my way home, down to the bad weather, but give me a second, but my title, my next episode is really going to be talking about living in fear. That's what it's going to call it, talk about living in fear, and how, you know, people, middle age, people around about my age, like 24, I wouldn't say middle age, but young adults, from, you know, 20 and up, even into your, well, your 30s, you know, some people still live in fear off of stuff that happened to them before. So, you know, they don't, either they didn't make the right decision or, and it affected them in the long run, or they didn't do something right. But something triggers you into living in fear and not mentally being able to produce like you say you want to produce, and like you know you can, like your God-given talent.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yeah, that's really exactly what it's going to be about.
Living in fear. I love the titles that you come with, you know, because it's interesting and I have to tell the listeners, I have not had a chance to call in live to Darren's show. I have been able to listen to his broadcast, and unfortunately, he wasn't able to do the other show last week because he was under the weather, but thank God he's feeling better. But I love the titles of your show, and then when I do listen to them, I'm like, wow, that's on point. So you guys got it. Do you have any questions for Darren and my sister?
Hey, Darren, is this your first time hosting a radio show?
I don't host a podcast. I have my own podcast that I'm rebranding right now. But first time for radio show, yes, ma'am. I internship, so yes, ma'am. It's yes and no. But I internship, and really, it's really, I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm at home. Like, I'm in, that's how I feel.
And wonderful. And then my last question for you. First of all, congratulations on being on the Michael Gay Network. He is a great person to be under. He's very helpful. And so I know that you're going to do well. My last question to you, though, is your show a niche show, or will you just be covering whatever you feel week to week?
I treat myself, and I'm going to answer this like this. I know I could be brought you straight up with you. If I'm gonna answer like this, I treat my show of not even just like a week to week how I, it really kind of is like a week to week how I feel, but I treat it from and it's crazy. I just had this conversation with my friends. I treat my show like everything that I really talked about in my show, it comes from a personal standpoint of where I come from, where I've been in life. So and that's how I do my podcast. So it's just like, what I'm talking about on my show, I have went through it, and now I'm able to talk about it. So if I know if I can make it through it, then I'm gonna bless somebody else and let them know, like, hey, look, I've been here before, so let me talk about it. Let me show you how to ease your pain. Because, like I said, 1 week, like the week I even did my first episode, I wasn't clear. Monday through Wednesday, I wasn't clear, but about Thursday, I had a feeling, like, you know, like, okay, I want to talk about mental health. And I asked my friends, and we were all sitting in the circle, and I asked them, like, on the scale of 1 to 10, what is your mental state? Like, how do you feel right now? And we all went around, and as men, we openly honest with each other to tell each other, hey, I'm feeling like this, man, because I'm at this point. And so from that point on, not even that point on, really, like I said, that Thursday, it was kind of like, I want to talk about this because I knew how I was feeling, but I wanted to also see how other people were feeling, but I also want to let everybody know, like, hey, this kind of how I'm feeling.
Hmm. Wow.
Excellent. That's what's up. I'm going to listen, definitely.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so crazy is that where I had put this offer out for someone to have their own show for some time, and this young man came forward and said, I'm ready to do it. And I am so happy he has joined because, again, you know, he has broadcast. I have listened to his shows, and I'm like, wow, you know, it's been a blessing for the network, to be honest. So you guys, please support his show. You will not be disappointed. And I definitely wanted a different set of eyes and ears of what's going on to share here on the team. GN and Darren, you definitely have done that. So, and looking forward to you to continue to do so. So check him out every Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, since he's in Birmingham, Alabama.
This Sunday, you know, I won't be on this Sunday either. Just letting everybody know. He'll be next Sunday because I'm in the process of trying to get everything set up. So y'all got to wait another week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we are definitely going to keep it rolling, you know. And again, Gwen Roth Presents is another show on Fridays. Gwen only broadcasts like once or twice a month. She's broadcast out of Las Vegas, Nevada. She's really busy a lot, but she loves what she does. She plays some of the greatest old school hip hop you will ever hear. And in fact, what I love about it is that where she plays stuff that you forgot about, album cuts, you know, she goes back in time. She is like the historian of hip hop, and seeing that hip hop is celebrating 50 years. And I've known Gwen for many years. She's another individual that worked with me when I first started out doing this whole thing before the J King Network, before all that. She was my right hand. She was with me when I did an interview with Stokely Williams of Big Condition, who is now just Stokely Williams. You know, so, you know, I'm just glad to see a whole turnaround and a whole thing of folks from the past and new folks moving forward in the future as we keep doing what we love and sharing great information, great content, great conversations, you guys. So, I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here, make room for you guys to make sure you tune in to my sister, Makisha Best. The best show on the J King Network is coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And so you guys make sure you tune in. One more time, Makisha, share the information so it's very fresh in everyone's mind.
Thank you, bro. BlogTalkRadio.com is the website. Once you're there, do a search for J King Network and click the hyperlink, and we will pop right up as Intro to Info. Thank you so much. Great show.
All right. Appreciate it. All right, you guys, I'm going to get on out of here. And, you know, it's the holiday season. It's one of those craziest times of year. You know, this is the time of year where we're supposed to show love. We're supposed to show respect. We're supposed to do so many good things. And I challenge all of us to do so. You know, I see homeless people every day. And around where I work, by the way, I'm sitting outside again. Like I said, I'm broadcasting on my front porch, and I'm hearing a cat or two cats getting into it. So if you hear it, then okay. But anyway, it's sad to see people living on the streets. It's sad to see folks begging for money. We know there's some folks that are really in need. But, you know, sometimes, even though, you know, we might think that that individual is probably not homeless, that individual is probably just sitting at the other. Just if you can give, just do so. Give to somebody that's in need this time of year. And just don't wait till this time of year. You can do it every day. Show some love. Show some respect. Because you can't judge them. God is going to judge you. Mm. See, sometimes I think about it of where is this a test of my giving, my gift-giving? See, gift-giving isn't always about presents and everything. Gift-giving is probably feeding somebody, helping somebody. And what you can do for a total stranger could be your blessing. Without further ado, you guys, I'm going to get on out of here, okay? All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
Okay. Darren, thank you. And Janet Davis, thank you. All my co-hosts that would normally be here, I know they had a lot of things they had to do this evening. Thank you for still being, you know, on board with TMGN. Again, don't forget, great stuff coming up. The new year is going to be so amazing. We always say that, but trust me, it's going to be amazing. There's a lot of great things coming up. Quickly, I want to share that. Congratulations to Mr. Derek Muhammad. You guys have heard him here on the show before. He just signed a 3-movie deal here in Atlanta with his company called Mechadon Films. So he's going to be doing 3 movies here, a 3-movie deal. And so if you live here in Atlanta, keep in mind Mechadon Films is going to be putting a print on the map in the black movie industry. There's so much great things that are happening in 2023 that's going to fall over into 2024. So you guys keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your ear to the ground, as they say, for some great things that are going to be coming up. All right. I think that's about it. I think I'm done for the night. And something I want to play. Let me see if I can find it on the board. I think I got it. Hold on, you guys. Be patient with me. One of my favorite Christmas songs. And I think you're going to like it. So I'm going to leave the show with a song by Solo. You guys remember Solo? Anyone?
Absolutely.
The group
Solo.
You know, where do you want me to put it? Do you want me to get it right? Yeah, you know. Okay. They did a great Christmas song a few years back. Didn't get a lot of airplay on it, but we're going to play it here tonight as we get ready to go. Good night, you guys. God bless. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas.